Well, we have two Bible readings this morning. Our first one's from the Old Testament, from the first book of the Bible, Genesis. It's part of the narrative of Jacob, who, for those of you who have read this part of the Bible, will know was the grandson, the grandson of Abraham, Abraham and Sarah. And you also might know that he had a twin brother. He had a twin brother called Esau, and he dudded Esau. He tricked him out of his inheritance, so much so that Esau wanted to kill him. And so Jacob's mother said, run away quick before he kills you. And off he set with basically nothing but the clothes he stood in. And that's where we pick up this reading from Genesis 28. Now Jacob left Beersheba and went towards Haran. And he came to a certain place and stayed there that night because the sun had set. And taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, there was a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and to your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you, will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Amen. Now, our second reading, we move to the New Testament, to the Gospel according to John. And this is from the first chapter in the very early days of Jesus' earthly ministry. So I'm reading from verse 43. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, follow me. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we've found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And Philip said to him, well, come and see. And Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said to him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit. Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? And Jesus answered him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael answered him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And Jesus answered him, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You'll see greater things than these. And he said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Amen, and thanks be to God. Well, the encounter with Nathanael is an incident from the very beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry. He's starting to gather a band of disciples. Now, so far, he's recruited Andrew, who introduces his brother Simon. Jesus promptly gives Simon the nickname of Peter, which means rocky. if it was in English, if it was in Australia and in English, they'd be going, I'm calling you Rocky, mate, okay? You got a Rocky head. Anyway, together the three of them leave John the Baptist's Riverside Revival camp in the Judean wilderness, and they head back home to the district of Galilee. They go to Peter and Andrew's hometown of Bethsaida, where Jesus finds his next recruit, Philip. Now, Philip soon seeks out his friend Nathanael to tell him the good news. We heard that in verse 45. He says, we've found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Now let's try and understand what happens next by putting ourselves in Nathanael's place. Now, Nathanael is obviously a devout religious man, and he knows exactly what Philip means. He knows that his friend is claiming to have discovered the identity of the person that God had long ago promised to send. He's saying he's found the Messiah, the chosen one who will save his people from the consequences of their sin and establish an everlasting kingdom of justice and righteousness and peace. Now that must have been amazing and welcome news to Nathanael, except for one thing. How could God's chosen Messiah possibly come from a hole like Nazareth? Nazareth, of all places. You see, Nathanael comes from the village of Cana. And John tells us that later in his gospel. You can check that out for yourself later in chapter 21 of John. So we know where his hometown is. And Cana is in the hills above Lake Galilee, as is Nazareth. In fact, it's not so very far at all from the village of Nazareth. Now, ever since humans have lived in villages, there's been rivalry between them. The rival town up the road can never be as good as your own town. If you were raised away from the big cities and you grew up in a small town or a village, you probably know what I mean. I grew up in the country town of Morwell in Gippsland's Latrobe Valley. And our bitterest rivals in all things were our two neighbouring towns of about the same size, Moe to the west and Terrelgan to the east. Now, if someone had told me when I was living there that the next Prime Minister of Australia would come from Moe, I would have reacted much like Nathanael reacted. I would have said, can anything good come out of Moe? You're kidding me, mate. You see, but Philip had added another detail about this Jesus of Nazareth. He told Nathanael that Jesus was a son of Joseph. And that's true in the legal sense. See, Joseph was the adoptive father of Jesus, making himself the legal father of Jesus, and therefore giving Jesus Joseph's family line and heritage by adoption. Now, Joseph was part of the clan of David, Israel's most famous king. And that's why, as Luke tells us in his gospel, Joseph and the heavily pregnant Mary had to travel to Bethlehem for the Roman census, because all men needed to register in their clan's headquarters, and Bethlehem was the city of David. Now, a small town gossip being what it is, the locals would know that Joseph the carpenter from Nazareth had some obscure connection to the family line of King David. And the scriptures of what we call the Old Testament promised that this is the line the Messiah would come from. Okay, Nathanael might be thinking, so this Jesus meets the requirement to be of the house of David, but all the same, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And Philip's reply challenges Nathanael's prejudices. Come and see, he says in verse 46. Well, come and see for yourself, Nathanael. Don't let your narrow opinions and your prejudice and your judgmental attitude rule you. Come and see. Philip's challenge is enough. It's enough to get Nathanael on his feet, going to meet this Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph, to see for himself. And Jesus' greeting is not what Nathanael might have expected. We see that in... Sorry. We okay? We see Jesus' greeting in verse 47. So Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him and said to him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no deceit." See, a true Israelite is one who is waiting and praying for the coming of the promised Messiah. And by not hiding his contempt for Nazareth from Philip, he demonstrated his frankness, his lack of deceit. But how on earth can Jesus give such an accurate character assessment of this man that he's never met? And that's what Nathanael wants to know. So he says to Jesus, "How do you know me? I've never met you, mate. How do you know me?" And the answer that Jesus gives has so much meaning and significance to Nathanael that it lifts the blinkers from the eyes of his heart. It drives away his doubts and it brings him to faith. See in verse 49, "Rabbi," he says, which means teacher, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. I believe." So what did Jesus say to bring about this dramatic conversion? Just this in verse 48. He said, "Well, before Philip called you, when you were..." This is probably the last time I'm going to use one of these Madonna microphones, I think. I've never liked them. Are we right? Okay. Okay. Is that better? Can you hear me now? Do I have to go back to the start? Oh, you heard me up till then. So these are the words of Jesus to Nathanael. He says, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." How could this simple statement have such a dramatic effect on Nathanael? See, biblical scholars and theologians have speculated about this for centuries. Barrels and barrels of ink have gone into speculating what that's all about. Did it have something to do with the fig tree being an emblem of ancient Israel? Because it was. Was it because devout Israelites sometimes prayed while sitting under fig trees? And there's evidence of that. Or did it simply mean that because of Jesus' divinity, he could see telescopically at long distance, a bit like Superman with his superpowers? More to the point, why did John think it was necessary to quote Jesus' reply to Nathanael without bothering to tell us what it meant? Good question. It's simply because he did not write his gospel with us 21st century city dwellers in mind. He wrote it to a first century Middle Eastern audience who readily understood what was being said
without having it explained to them. But we do need it explained to us. The most convincing explanation that I've heard came from the local guide of a study tour to Israel and Palestine that my wife and I went on some years ago. Now, this man was a Christian with a rich biblical knowledge and a deep and abiding faith. And he lived all his life in the homeland of Jesus. And he was a highly trained and experienced archaeologist. He was, in short, the perfect guide for such a tour. Now, I want you to have a look at this photograph, which I hope is going to come up on the screen now. This is a photograph from a village in Ethiopia, a modern-day photograph. Now, our guide told us that a common feature of the villages of Galilee in biblical times was just like this, a sort of central village square, something like a small park. In its centre would be a large fig tree, like the one in the photo, providing shade and shelter. Here is where the nursing mothers and the child-minding grandmothers and aunties would gather with their little ones. It was a kind of mutual help daycare centre. It was a haven for women and babies and toddlers. Now, if we accept this interpretation, then what Jesus tells Nathanael is this. He's saying, before Philip called you, way before that, even right back to your very earliest memories under the village fig tree, even then, Nathanael, I saw you. I was watching over you. I knew. So in saying this about the fig tree, Jesus is telling Nathanael that he is more than human. Yes, he is the legal son of Joseph, but he's also the Son of God, full of the Holy Spirit. He is both human and divine. That's why Jesus can read Nathanael like a book. And that's what brings Nathanael's excited confession of faith to his lips. Rabbi, you are the Son of God, and therefore you are the King of Israel. And because Jesus can read Nathanael like a book, he knows exactly how to reveal his mission and purpose to Nathanael in a way that he will be able to understand. And he does that by alluding to the Old Testament story of Jacob's ladder. That's not a photograph, by the way. That's several centuries ago, some artist's impression. I think you knew that. See, a devout Israelite like Nathanael would have known this story very well. As we read this morning from Genesis 28, and he, that is Jacob, dreamed, and in that dream, behold, there was a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. Now, Nathanael, like every devout Israelite, knows that angels are messengers and that this ladder represents a bridge between the things of God and our earthly human condition. And Jesus now reveals something profound and forever life-changing to Nathanael in verse 51. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending. On what? On a ladder? Well, yes, but it's a human ladder. He says, you'll see them ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Jacob's ladder was a dream and a promise of Jesus the Christ. He is the bridge between heaven and earth, between God and us. The kingdom of God closed against us in our sin is opened in Christ. It is in and through Jesus that God makes himself personally known to us. And to know Jesus, therefore, is to know God. And at this moment, Nathanael is getting to know this Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph, son of God, son of man. His life just changed forever. Now, what about these angels of God, these messengers of God going to and from earth to heaven and back again? Well, we're told that firstly they ascend to heaven and then they descend to earth. And that tells us something important because it's the reverse of what you might expect to be said about angels. It tells us that these angels in Jacob's dream, who are the same angels that Jesus speaks of, do not originate in heaven, despite this drawing here that shows them having wings on their back. They ascend from earth in order to descend back to earth. They are angels of God. These angels, these messengers of the good news of God, are actually ordinary humans like you and me. Despite what the artist has depicted in the etching that we've just got up there, they're not winged seraphim and cherubim, and if they were, they'd have no need of a ladder or a bridge or anything else, would they? That's what their wings would be for. See, so one of those angels is Philip. By putting his trust and allegiance in Jesus, he, in a sense, ascended to heaven to know God through Jesus, but then only so he could descend back into the hurly-burly of this earthly life. He was the messenger that God sent to Nathanael, announcing the Christ to him. He was the one who challenged Nathanael to come and see for himself. He was truly an angel of God sent to Nathanael. And once we put our trust and allegiance in Jesus, that's what we are too. Each person's pathway to saving faith is different, but all have this in common with Nathanael. Christ has known us since forever, even before we were babies under the fig tree. And because he knows us intimately, he makes himself personally known to us, known in our hearts, not just in our heads. Followers of Jesus are like Nathanael, but they're also like Philip. And the follower's job description is the same as it was for Philip, to be messengers who witness to what God has revealed to them. Messengers with the divine invitation from our Lord and Saviour. And the invitation is, come and see. Let me pray. Father God, in the power of your Holy Spirit, may we accept and realise that we are indeed your messengers, that we are the messengers of the Lord Jesus Christ, in all of our life, in all that you place us in, with all you place us with, in our work, in our families, in our home, in our neighbourhood. Help us and empower us to find the right words and the right opportunities in both our words and our deeds to encourage people to come and see for themselves the one who knew them when they were even under the fig tree. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.